so he can bully from behind it.
Callan shifted his gaze to hers.
I want another part to the deal.
We already struck the deal.
We didn't shake on it.
Odine only rolled her eyes. What would the other part be?
If he goes at you or your family about me, you tell me.
Leaning over again, Odine held out her hand. No problem at all. They shook. Callan flopped back.
I'm going to admit something. I've been stewing about it ever since. Just couldn't pull the damn thorn clean out of my side. Because whatever Clintock is, I get the feeling he believes I could have done this. He actually believes it.
Odine started to disagree, thought better of it. You might be right on that. He hates you, and always has. It's irrational and genuine, so he'd need to believe the very worst when it comes to you. And he's never known you. Anyone who knows you wouldn't believe it.
Maybe not. But he was so wound up about it, Easy felt obliged to step in and cover for me on the timing, and not altogether truthfully. That doesn't sit well either.
I expect Ben would have done exactly the same.
Maybe.
He scowled into his beer.
Yeah, hell, he would have. That doesn't sit very well either.
He studied her as she studied him. She'd taken her hair out of the braid so it lay loose and a little wavy from the twining, ink black over her shoulders. The tone, mirrored in her lashes, deepened, enriched the green of her eyes. In those eyes he read understanding, some sympathy rather than the hard line, no bullshit he'd seen in them when they'd started this round.
I'm going to admit, having this out with you, I don't much feel like stewing about it anymore.
Your family, Callan?
Maybe. But I don't think about you like my sister anymore.
She snorted. You never thought about me like your sister.
I thought about you like my best friend's baby sister. It comes to the same. Now I look at you and can't leave it at that. There was this wrangler I knew back in California. I've never known anybody as attuned with horses. I used to say he'd likely been one in a past life. He loved horses, a good whiskey, and the company of men. But now and again, he'd say to me, Skinner, I've got a hankering for a woman.
Bodine snorted again, and Callan grinned.
His words. So he'd find one and take care of the hankering until the next time it gave him an itch.
She saw, appreciated, the simple logic and organization of the method. Is that how you handled an itch?
A man has to consider his massive, mighty balls.
She had to laugh.
You turned that one around on me. Point for you. The thing is, since I'm in the admitting mode, since I've been back, I've had a hankering for a woman.
He watched her eyebrows cock up, that little smirk move on her pretty lips.
But the only hankering has been for you.
And watched the smirk vanish.
And reminding myself you're the sister of the best friend I've had, ever will have, hasn't dulled it one damn bit.
All manner of things stirred up inside her. Stirred hard and hot enough she'd wished she'd taken that beer. That's a bold admission.
Well, you said yourself, I'm no liar. I want my hands on you, Bodine. I'm going to get them there before much longer.
I got over my crush, Callan.
I think we both know we're past teenage crushes on this. You're no liar, either.
You've got a point. And I might like having your hands on me just to see what it was like. Sex is simple enough if you're honest about it.
He laughed. If you think that, You've never had the right kind of sex. I can look forward to changing that.
You're raising the bar awfully high for yourself, but I had another reason for coming over to talk to you tonight.
You want to fire me, and I can show you how I vault over that bar?
No. No, it's contrary to that. I heard from Abe today.
How's Etta doing?
She's doing well. She's taken up... It's not kung fu, it's... Searching for the name, Bodine did a slow, surfing wave with her hands.
Tai Chi?
That's it. And yoga. And according to Abe, is half a vegetarian. I can't picture it.
Whatever works,
Callan decided. And it seems to be. But she... The two of them had a scare, and have done a lot of talking. Evaluating. They're going to move closer to their daughter, to Bozeman. They're not coming back, Callan.
Hell. I need another beer.
Slowly, he stood up.
You sure you don't want one?
Not right now. He said he'd come back and give me more time, help train a replacement if we needed it. But he figured if we had you in there, we wouldn't need it. The job's yours, if you want it. And if you don't, I'd ask if you'd stay on as manager long enough for us to find somebody else. As one of the owners and the manager of Bodine Resort, I'd rather you took the job. He walked back, set the beer down. She wasn't surprised when he pulled her out of the chair. She wondered if she surprised him by gripping his hair in both fists and assaulting his mouth with hers. Hankering be damned, she thought. This was hunger, deep, grinding hunger, and the perpetual ache of it had kept her entire system on edge from the moment she'd walked into the kitchen months back to see him charming Clementine. It didn't have to make sense. It didn't have to be smart. It just had to be. She blew through him, a perfect storm of lust and power, lightning strikes that flashed and burned, leaving erotic afterimages of tangled, frantic bodies. And she took, beyond what his frustration and impulse had prepared for, stirred up the currents, threatened the flood, and all with only a single, urgent kiss. Though he cursed her, himself, the altogether sticky situation, he backed off. Now she grabbed his shirt front, and the molten look in her eyes told him clearly she wasn't done.
Me either, he thought.
But carefully, eyes level with hers, pried open her grip. She dropped her hand quickly, and he couldn't quite read the mix on her face now. Shock? Insult? Disappointment seemed to come and go. You... She broke off, took a long breath. Now he read disdain, and plenty of haughty with it. You can't possibly believe I'd use sex to persuade you to stay on as horse manager.
You know, Bodine, as good a rider as you are, you're going to bust your ass falling off a horse that high. Now just...
He held a hand up, palm out, to signal her back, and took a step back himself. Her eyes narrowed for a moment, then lit up. Oh, so sly, he noted. Her lips curved.
That's right.
He couldn't say why that sheer smugness on her face made him want her more.
I've got my limits. And right now I've got one foot over the edge of them. So we're just gonna...
He broke off again, waving her back.
Keep our separate spaces for right now.
You're the one who started it.
Maybe. And maybe I didn't factor in certain eventualities. I need to think all this over. And while I'm thinking all this over, I need to talk to Chase, as he's the one who hired me on.
All right. And will your talk with Chase include those certain eventualities? Talk about sticky situations. But a man didn't bullshit his best friend. Most likely. Well, that would be up to you. But I'll remind you, and him if it comes to it, I don't need his permission regarding who I take to bed. Another time, he'd have valued the frankness, but at the moment it only made the thin ledge he balanced on all the shakier.
It's not about permission.
Now I need you to... He gestured toward the door. When she angled her head, lifted her eyebrows, he shoved his hands in his pockets. Hands that really wanted to take hold of her and wipe that smug satisfaction off her face.
Go on, Beau. Out. Before both my feet are over that edge.
All right. I'd appreciate it if you'd let me know about the job in the next couple of days. She opened the door, then stood with the cold swirling in around her and awash in the yard lights that added mystery. I'm going to tell you, whether or not you take the job, I'm going to have you. I've made up my mind about it.
The damn ledge started to crumble under his feet. Keep walking, Bodine.
She left him with a laugh he already knew would keep him up half the night. He sat, picked up his beer. He wasn't sure if he felt like a righteous man or a fool. At the moment, he didn't see much daylight between the two. Stringing out a yes or no struck Callan as cowardly, and since the yes or no would depend, for him, on what Chase had to say, he'd hit that straight on. Before sunrise, he found Chase, along with a couple of hands, moving horses from stall to paddock.
Morning, Cal.
Chase gave the sorrel gelding an easy slap on the flank to send him through the open gate.
Getting your rotation up, but I'm holding Beans back today. Looks like an infection in his right eye, so I want the vet to take a look. You all right with Cochise instead?
Sure.
Have you got a minute?
Got a couple of them.
Sensing Callan wanted more privacy, Chase walked away from the horse paddock.
We're castrating calves today.
Can't say I mind missing it.
When Chase figured they'd gone far enough from perked-up ears, he stopped.
Supposed to climb up to the 40s today. At least the rest of us won't freeze our balls off while we turn little bulls into steers. I could use a shirt-sleeves day. Wouldn't hurt my feelings. I heard Abe might not be coming back. Bodine said that's definite.
Callan's breath whooshed out in a cloud.
I'd say a heart attack, and a minor one's not minor to the one having it, is a wake-up call. I guess it shouldn't surprise anyone they decided to retire. They'll be missed. Both have been with the resort since before it was one. I'm not going to be surprised if Bodine offered you Abe's job permanent.
She did.
Are you taking it? I'm not saying yes or no until I hear what you have to say. It's not up to me, Cal.
Oh, horse shit. Where did I go when I knew it was time to come back?
Callan demanded.
You took me on. Even fixed up the shack.
Accustomed to the flare, Chase met it as he usually did, with equanimity.
I'd have done that out of friendship. All of us would have. But we didn't need to. You're an asset, Cal. The best all-around horseman I know. And that includes my own father. He'd say the same. We all know you could have gone anywhere. I didn't want to go just anywhere. I've been there. So, here you are.
Sensing dawn was close, Chase looked up at the sky, watched a few stars gutter out.
I might fight Beau for you. Might even win, though God knows she's a fierce and dirty fighter. Remember that time we had to haul her off Bud Panger?
Bud had a year on her. 10 pounds, too, easy. And she had him down in the dirt crying for his ma. I remember. She caught me one on the shin while we were hauling her off, Bud. I limped for 2 days. I'm not going to be the cause of upset between you and Beau.
You wouldn't be. I might fight her, but the resort's part of the whole, so it's all, well, of a piece, isn't it? Besides all that, it's what you want here, Cal.
As dirty as Beau can fight, she'd say just the same, and I expect she has. I came here to work for you, Chase.
You came to work for the Bodine Ranch, and the resort's part of it.
The long night shifted toward day, a lessening of dark, a slight rise of wind, horses whickering, the low of cattle, the footsteps of men already about the day's work.
I love this place.
Callan breathed it in.
I love it nearly as much as you. Leaving it was one of the hardest things I've ever done. Had to do it, or I'd never have made anything of myself.
Knowing his friend, Chase kept his silence, waited for Callan to work through the rest.
I admire the resort. I admire the hell out of what you all have built there. That Bodine Longbow vision. It's an awesome, admirable thing. I know I could be an asset to you here on the ranch. I know you could depend on me to pull my weight here and maybe take some weight off you and Sam. At the resort.
He took another minute, gathered his thoughts.
I think I might be able to add to the vision. I can see ways to do that, to contribute to that. Then that's what you ought to do. To my ear, that's what you want. And what's holding you off is feeling obligation here. There's no need for that. If we need you for something over here, we'll work that out, too. And don't feel bad we're likely going to have to hire 2 in the next month to replace you.
Most of the stress lodged at the back of Callan's neck loosened.
3'd be better. You're not that damn good. Work it out with Beau. Give me a few hours here, like you have been, until we start hiring on and we're square.
Yeah.
The stress punched right back again.
About Bodine.
Callan shifted, looked east, waiting for the sun to rise. He corrected, as last night cemented the mutual.
We have a thing going on.
He rubbed the chin he hadn't bothered to shave that morning.
An intense sort of thing. What thing?
Callan glanced over, saw the mild and puzzled interest.
You've always been obtuse when it comes to the romantic and sexual dynamics of people, Longbow. A block of wood buried in cement obtuse. I've got more to think about than the...
And it struck him. Callan saw, like that block of wood, right between the eyes.
What? We've got a mutual interest and attraction going on, me and Beau. What?
Chase repeated, taking a step back, as if his body had just reacted to that strike.
You've... with my sister? Not yet, but only due to my heroic restraint so far. And hearing, in my head, you say, my sister, in just that way. You never looked twice at her,
Chase began, then reevaluated.
Did you? Christ almighty, Chase, she was still a kid when I left. Mostly a kid.
An itch worked into the stress.
Maybe I looked twice, a couple times. But only because, hell, she's always been pretty. And I guess she was starting to blossom some right about the time I left. I never did anything about it. Never thought of doing anything about it. But she's not a kid now, and she's...
Brother to brother, Callan reminded himself. even if a sister stood between them.
She's smart. Always was, but man, she's honed that to a sharp edge. The way she runs that place? She's smart and crafty, and she has a way of seeing to it that everybody who works there does good work and stays happy doing it. That's some talent there. I admire that.
So, you've got this thing due to her brain and her managerial skills.
It wasn't often Chase laid on sarcasm, but when he did, it had some serious weight.
They're part of the package. She's beautiful.
Callan let out a sigh.
I don't know when she went from really pretty to beautiful. And maybe if I'd been around the whole time, it wouldn't have hit me like a lightning bolt. I've got feelings for her. I'm not altogether sure where they're going, but it's clear enough we're going to find out.
I couldn't do that behind your back,
or without telling you right out.
You're standing here, telling me right out. You're planning to have sex with my sister.
I'm going to put it this way. It's not a small embarrassment to me to admit, due to not going behind your back and the job offer, I had to tell her to get out of the shack last night.
She packs a punch. She hit you?
Callan laughed.
Laughed until he had to bend over to brace his hands on his thighs. There's that obtuse again.
How do you ever manage to get laid? Kiss my ass, Mr. Hollywood. And be careful talking about getting laid and my sister in the same conversation.
Heaving out a breath, Callan pushed up again.
She left, telling me whether I took the job or not, she intended to follow through on the personal area. I guess I can fight her off if you feel strongly against it. I think she'd probably take me down, but I could put up a fight.
Chase stared hard at the hills, the mountains just coming into silhouette relief as day waited to bloom.
This isn't a conversation I expected to have when I got up this morning.
I've got the advantage, as I spent most of the night thinking about this conversation, when I wasn't thinking about her. She knew I would, too.
Crafty.
Didn't I say that? She's a crafty sort of woman. I like it.
Chase stood, mulling, weighing, struggling a little as the first shimmers of red rose up over the eastern peaks.
She's a grown woman who makes her own choices. If that choice is... I'd just as soon not go into that detail inside my head. I'm going to say I love you like a brother. And there are times when Rory devils me enough, I like you more than the brother my parents gave me. I trust you with my life. Not one instant's hesitation on that. I'm telling you, if you hurt her, I'll kick your ass. And I'll kick it harder than Bo kicked Bud's. That's fair.
Understanding each other, they stood a moment longer. And as the cock began to crow, watched the sun rise red into a purple sky. Chapter 14. Not to avoid Bodine so much as the temptation of her, Callan rode to work well before her. On his own, in the quiet, he finished doing the tack inventory, drafted up a memo of what he felt needed replacing, what he believed could be repaired. By mid-morning, he'd sent Easy down to the center with a pair of horses for Maddie and a lesson. Along with Ben, he'd saddled up four more mounts for a trail ride, ordered supplies, with a copy for the boss, and confirmed more bookings. A fine, bright day for riding, he thought, as the 40s might even nudge at 50 degrees by afternoon. He imagined the snow sculptures that had held up well so far would show some sags by the end of the day.
Hey there, cowboy.
He straightened up from checking a hoof, smiled at Cora.
Ma'am?
Good morning, Miss Fancy.
I heard you were helping Abe out,
Miss Fancy said, tipping up the bold, bright green brim of her pinch-front Stetson to study him.
I'm always glad to help.
He's a good man. You were a half-bad boy, Callan. I always had a weakness for half-bad boys. From my vantage point, you need a few more miles on you to make a man, but I think you'll do.
Ma's feeling feisty this morning. We haven't had a day like this since November, and the pair of us want to take advantage. Can you spare us a couple horses for an hour or two?
As long as you want. Miss Fancy, do you still favor that bay mare, the one you named Della?
How in the world did you remember such a thing?
I never forget a beautiful woman or a good horse.
She gave him a smile that struck a perfect balance between flirtation and indulgence. Hardly a wonder he was crazy about her.
It happens she's in the paddock here today. If you want her, I'll bring her in, saddle her.
I'll be glad to have Della, and I can still saddle my own horse.
I'm sure of it, but I'd appreciate you letting me do that for you. You've been using Wrangler in the ring, Nana, but that's where he is right now, doing a lesson.
Let's see who else you have.
They walked over, and when Cora made her choice, Callan led the bay mare and a chestnut gelding from one paddock to another. A hand on her hip, her denim jacket, with its emblazoned peace sign, unbuttoned, Miss Fancy eyed him while he saddled the mare.
You've got good hands, boy. I set considerable store in a man's hands. I'm surprised I haven't heard about you using them on a two-legged female. Ma!
Cora rolled her eyes as she saddled the gelding.
If I can't devil a boy whose backside I swatted when he was three, who can I devil? You've got good hands and a handsome face, Miss Fancy added. You ought to have your eyes on a woman.
As they keep roaming your way, are you offering, Miss Fancy?
She let out a hoot.
It's a damn shame you were born 60 years too late.
But I'm an old soul.
She laughed again, patted his cheek.
I always did have that soft spot for you.
Miss Fancy,
he took her hand, kissed it.
I've been in love with you all my life.
A safe thing for a man to say to a woman pushing toward 90.
But this time she kissed his cheek.
Don't you go insulting me by getting a mounting block. You just give me a boost up.
He basketed his hands and marveled how smoothly she swung into the saddle. If he lived to pushing toward 90, he hoped he could do the same.
Come on, Della. Let's see how we feel today.
While Cora checked the cinches on her saddle, Miss Fancy turned Della, turned a walk to a trot to a canter in the paddock.
She was raring to get out today.
Cora adjusted her hat over her short crop of salt-and-pepper hair. The winters are getting longer for her. A day like today is a gift.
No, I've got it,
she said when he formed another basket.
We'll have them back in a couple hours. I'm raring myself. It's been a while since we rode around the property.
You enjoy it. I hope you don't take this wrong, but do you have a phone on you?
Little silver dangles glinted in her ears as she smiled down at him.
Both of us do, and I appreciate you worrying about us. Are you and Della ready, Ma? Born ready in every life I've led.
I got the gate.
Callan crossed the sandy soil of the paddock, held it open. The women rode through, a sedate walk. Then Miss Fancy looked back, sent him a wink, and leaped into a gallop.
That's all right, he mumbled. I didn't need that year of my life.
He watched them, admired them, then went back to work. When it was close enough to quitting time, he left Ben and Carol covering and rode over to Bodine Town, leading Leo. He tethered both horses before striding into the building, giving the front desk a wave, continuing back to Bodine's office. She sat at her desk, phone to her ear, scrolling through something on her computer. Yes, I have that. Of course you can, Cheryl. We do have our own gardens, greenhouses, and... It's absolutely up to you. Yes, we're thrilled to have you. We're already billing it on our website and our brochures, and we'll highlight you and the event beginning the first of the month. When she just sat back, closed her eyes, made mm-hmm sounds, Callan poked into her cooler, took out a couple of Cokes. He opened one, put it on her desk, opened the other, sat down with it. I can promise you'll find our kitchen and our staff worthy of our 5-star rating. I'm afraid we can't pay for that. If you feel you need your own sous chef, you're welcome to bring one, at your own expense. Yes. Yes, that's firm, and is so stated in your contract. As I said, we're delighted to have you as our guest chef for the event. I expect it to be sold out. Please let us know your travel arrangements when you have them. We'll have you picked up from the airport. As she listened again, her gaze narrowed, went just a little fierce. I'm sorry, Cheryl. Let me just pull your contract up, see if it says anything about providing a limo. Uh-huh. Why don't you send me an email on all that, and I'll run it right by legal. Anything else I can do personally to make your visit with us more enjoyable, you be sure to let me know. Bye now. Bodine hung up very carefully, drew a breath. Arrogant, snootified bitch. I admire that. I admire how your tone stayed absolutely polite and reasonable, even when you covered it with enough frost to crack a tree branch. Cheryl's contracted as our guest chef for next month's Spring Bounty Banquet. She's head chef at this swank place in Seattle, and when we invited her, did the contract, she was thrilled and cooperative. Since then, she had an appearance on America's Top Chefs, and now she's a prima donna, wants her own people, and for us to pay for them, wants to bring her own herbs, went on about her own tit soy. Tot soy, more likely. California, he said, and she stared holes in him. You pick things up. Tit or damn tat, I don't care. She's being a pain in my ass, and is suddenly insulted we aren't providing a limo for her during her stay. Tell her to kiss off. More fire flamed into her eyes. He admired that, too. I'm not breaking the contract and giving her an excuse to sue. If she breaks it, I'll deal with it. She and her tats and tits can be replaced. So, she lifted the Coke, drank. What can I do for you?
I think about that a considerable lot. But right now, it's me for you. I'd like to take you up on the job.
I'm glad to hear it. Really glad, Callan.
I'm glad about that. Especially since I've got some asks of my own.
All right. She picked up her pen, nudged a tablet in front of her as if prepared to note those asks down. It never hurts to ask, unless you're an asshole chef from Seattle.
Happy I'm not. I'm assuming there's a contract involved here, too, though.
There is. We do yearly contracts for managers, with reasonable outs for either party should the relationship not work satisfactorily. I can have one printed out for you so you can look it over.
I'd like you to add in if Chase or your father needs me at the ranch, and I've got things covered here, it's not a problem.
Sitting back again, she sipped the Coke. I can do that, Callan, but that doesn't have to be written and signed. It just is. I hope my word's enough on that.
It is.
So you talked to Chase about this?
First thing this morning.
And the other factors?
Yeah. He took a little more time coming around there.
Callan smiled at her.
Anytime you want my ass kicked, you just have to tell him I screwed up with you and he'll take care of that.
I expect no less from my brother, she said sweetly. But I can do my own ass-kicking. Still, nice to know he cares.
He does. I'd like to look over the evaluations of the seasonal hands you plan on bringing back.
I'm not saying I'd try to outthink you on them, as you've already worked with them. I'd just like to know who I'll be dealing with.
Sitting up again, she noted it down. I'll have that sent to you.
Last, I've got a couple ideas for add-ons we could offer.
Such as?
Some people just want to get on a horse, ride around a little, get off again, and go have a drink. Others might like to learn something and take more active parts, saddling, grooming.
We offer equine education for the kids' club in the summer.
It's not just kids might want to learn something or groom a horse. You do a whole thing for cooking, right? Shopping, teaching, tasting. I'm saying sort of do that for horsemanship. Learning, feeding, watering, grooming. Not just the ride, the full cowboy experience.
Write it up, Bodine invited as she made a note. Once you do, run it by Jesse. It'll go through Rory and Mom and me, but Jesse's the one who'll put a shine on it before it gets to us.
All right. I'll do that.
We're not only open to fresh ideas around here, Skinner. We like them. Got any more?
A couple I'm still formulating.
Okay. Meanwhile, I'll have that contract printed out for you.
Good enough.
He rose.
I brought Leo up.
Oh, I'm not... She trailed off as she checked her watch, saw she might not have been ready to leave, but she should have been. I need about 15 minutes.
I'll wait. I said I'd take you dancing come May.
I recall that.
The way things panned out, there's no point in waiting. How about Saturday night?
She started to smile, then angled her head.
Are you talking about actual dancing? What else? You got sex on the brain, Bodine. It's hard to fault you for it, but I'm thinking the roundup still has dancing on Saturday nights. I can pick you up at 8, but we could make it 7, have some dinner first.
Dinner and dancing at the roundup? All right. Good.
I'm going to check on the horses.
Dinner and dancing, she thought when he left her. Who knew Callan Skinner would turn into such a traditionalist? Though she faced a busy Saturday, Bodine calculated she could wrap up her workday by about 3, 4 latest. Not that she needed a lot of fussing time to put herself together for a night at the roundup. Though she might wear a dress, she considered, just to keep Callan off balance. She liked dancing and hadn't taken the time to go, either with a date or with girlfriends, and, Lord, she couldn't even remember. But as much as she liked dancing, she wanted that extra time to fuss and polish up for after. She intended to do some of her own rounding up once the band packed it in. She'd already tucked the key to the Half Moon cabin in her pocket and had a list of what she wanted to stock it with in her briefcase. All things being equal, she could take care of that, freshen up the linens, and be home to groom and dress with time to spare. She had her maybe-I-will underwear tucked in her dresser. If things continued with Callan, she'd need to invest in more, but what she had would do. She'd already checked, to be sure, as it had been 13 full months since the last time she'd had cause to put it on. While a busy year played a part in that, it didn't play the main role. Sex didn't have to be complicated, but a woman had her standards. She had to feel a spark and have a real liking for a man before he rated the maybe-I-will underwear. Before most of the staff arrived for the day, she selected a bottle of wine from the wine cellar, a couple of beers and cokes from the saloon, making a note on inventory, and adding them to her personal tab. She'd pick up coffee at the Longbow General Store, and though she doubted they'd need them, a few snacks. She tucked what she had in a burlap tote, stored it in her office, and had just settled into work when Jessica came in. I didn't expect you in so early. I'm hoping to leave the same way today. I have a date. Well, taking that as an invitation, Jessica stepped up, leaned a hip on the desk. Who, where, what? Callan Skinner, dinner and dancing at the roundup.
If there'd been an office pool,
I'd have put money on Cal. What are you wearing?
Haven't decided. I might shock his sensibilities and break out a dress. I do have a few.
Is this a first date?
I guess you could call it that.
Definitely a dress. The roundup's on my list to recommend to guests who want to venture out. It's casual, right? It's good for a burger, a cold beer, and dancing on the weekends.
You haven't been?
No.
Well, you should. It's good to know the places you have on the list, and this is a fun one.
Oh, Jess, there you are. Sorry, should I catch you later?
Chelsea hovered in the doorway.
Now's fine. I was just telling Jessie she should go to the roundup some weekend.
You haven't been?
Apparently I have a hole in my personal activities list.
You should go,
Chelsea told her.
It's fun.
The food's pretty good. Not like you get here, but it's good. And the music's always local. It's a great spot for a night out if you don't want to go all the way into Missoula.
What is?
Rory wondered as he wandered in.
What are you doing here? Bodine asked him. You're off today.
Carlu's wedding. Carlu Pritchett. I'm invited, so I figured I'd come in, give a hand with setting up the event. What's a good spot?
We were talking about the roundup.
Chelsea executed a slow, subtle hair flip. Jess hasn't been.
Well, you gotta. Bitterroots are playing tonight.
Oh, I love the Bitterroots.
Chelsea added a quick, flirty eye bat to the hair flip.
I dance my feet off when they're playing.
Now Rory executed a quick, charming smile.
Let's go. It's a small afternoon wedding, right? We'll be done in plenty of time.
Oh, well, I'd like to.
Leaning back in her chair, Bodine watched her clever brother seal the deal.
We'll all go. Blow off some steam. Hell, let's get Cal and Chase in on it. Come on, Jesse, you can't go better than the roundup and the Bitterroots on a Saturday night.
I'm not sure I...
Oh, come on, Jess, Chelsea insisted. We'll have a party without having to plan it or work it.
We'll teach her to line dance.
Rory gave Chelsea a little shoulder bump, making her laugh. While Rory and Chelsea wandered out again, making plans, Jessica sent Bodine a panicked look. Don't think twice, Bodine assured her. It will be fun. But now you're going to have a bunch of people crowding in on your date. Bodine only shrugged. We'll get a bigger table.
She forgot what she came in for. That's Rory Longbow magic.
I'll find out. Honestly, Bo, I can explain to them about you and Cal having a date.
No!
Appalled, Bodine held both hands up, palms out. Big Montana, no. It makes it too important, which is something I'd like to avoid with the family and around here. And the fact is, I haven't hit the roundup with Chase and Rory for months. We're due. Get yourself ready for a genuine Montana night. Once she'd shooed Jessica out, Bodine sent Callan a text. Word got out on the roundup. Dinner and dancing for two just expanded to six. More dance partners. But don't make any plans for after closing. I've already made them. Minutes later, he texted back.
I'm good with the crowd.
Before closing time. Good enough, Bodine said aloud. Then made a note to contact the manager of the roundup when it opened for lunch and sweet-talk him into reserving a table that could hold six. Callan got home later than he'd planned, but with plenty of time to shower off the horses and change into something clean. Maybe he had planned for a one-on-one night of dinner, conversation, dancing, and whatever happened next, but he'd grown up learning how to adjust both plans and expectations. Besides, the way he looked at it, the party atmosphere might take some of the pressure off what happens next. She said she had plans. He was pretty sure, the way they'd left things, what those plans would focus on. He'd taken time that morning to rotate his sheets, stripping off the one set, putting on the second. One thing he knew for absolute certain, if their plans aligned, he wouldn't spend his first night with Bodine in her bedroom in her family home. That was just disrespectful to her family, He stepped into the shack, took a quick glance around. Other than the sheets, already seen to, he didn't have any picking up to do before entertaining a lady. He knew how to keep a small space neat enough, washing up dishes as he went, hanging up clothes. He skipped his post-work beer. He'd have a couple at the roundup, but since he was driving, he'd hold it to that. Heading toward the shower, he pulled his ringing phone out of his pocket, noted the display.
Hi, Ma. Sure, I got a minute. Plenty of them.
He listened as he shrugged out of his coat, tugged off the bandana around his neck. He tossed his hat on the chair, scraped his hand through his hair. She didn't ask for much, and never had. A son couldn't say no even when it put a shadow over him.
I've got time on Monday. I could come for you about 4, if that works. Drive you to the cemetery? How about I take you out for dinner after? Now, why would it be a bother to me to take my ma out to dinner? If Savannah and Justin want, I'll take you all. The Rugrat, too.
He flipped open the buttons of his shirt as she talked.
No, that's fine then. Just you and me. How's she doing? Not much cooking time left on the new one.
He sat, pulled off his boots while his mother chattered on about his pregnant sister. When she'd wound down, thanked him one more time, he set the phone aside.
She didn't ask for much, and never had, he thought again. So he'd take her to visit her husband's grave. He would never understand her love and devotion to the man who'd gambled away his life and the lives of his family. But he'd take her to lay her flowers, to say her prayers, and keep his thoughts on it to himself.
He reconsidered the beer, then shook his head. Grabbing one now was weakness, not want. He stripped off his jeans, headed in to shower in the tiny bathroom, and reminded himself that tonight and Bodine were a lot closer than Monday and graves. About the time Callan stepped out of the shower and Bodine stood in front of the mirror doing a testing turn in the dress she'd decided on, Esther, who'd forgotten Alice, laid a cloth, as cold as she could get it, on her bruised jaw. She'd already wept a little, knew she might weep again, but the cold helped ease the throbbing. Sir had been so angry. She'd heard him shouting, and someone shouting back before he'd stormed in on her. She hadn't finished her scrubbing, and that made him only madder. He hadn't hurt her in a long time, but he'd hurt her then, dragging her to her feet by her hair, hitting her face, punching her stomach, taking his husbandly rights in a hard, mean way, harder and meaner than usual. Someone had made him mad. A part of her knew that. But the other parts, long since indoctrinated, blamed herself. She hadn't finished the scrubbing. Though her internal clock and the slant of the sun through her tiny window told her it was hours before his usual visit to her. Her house hadn't been in order, the house he'd provided her. She deserved his punishment. Now he'd gone off, she'd heard his truck leave, just as she'd heard someone, the one who'd shouted back, leave minutes before Sir had come in. His face red with temper, his eyes dark and mean with it. His hands hard and cruel. And it was her day of the week for sitting out for an hour, of sitting out in the air and not working, just being allowed to sit and watch the sunset. She looked mournfully at the door he'd slammed as he'd gone out, cursing her for being a lazy whore. Though her face, her belly, and where he'd taken her so hard all hurt, she finished the scrubbing, using the water, gone cold, that had spilled all over the floor. He'd knocked the bucket over. Or she had. Probably she had, as she was the clumsy one, the lazy one, the ungrateful one. She told herself to make tea, to read the Bible, to repent her evil ways, but tears gathered in her eyes again as she stared at the door. It was selfish of her to wish for that hour outside, to wish for the sitting and seeing the sky fill with color, maybe even seeing a star or two come out. Selfish, because she hadn't earned it. Still, she shuffled to the door, stroked her fingers over it, laid her hot cheek against it. She could just hear the birds if she listened hard enough, but not the air through the trees as she would if she could stand on the other side of the door. The air that would cool her aching jaw and settle her heart again. She didn't realize she'd touched the handle until it moved. Shocked, terrified, she jumped back from it. It never moved, not even when she scrubbed it clean. Slowly, she reached out, touched it again, just a little pressure. It moved again, made the clicking sound it made when Sir used it. With her breath coming fast, she gave it a little tug. The door opened. For one blind moment, she saw Sir standing there, his fists raised to punish her for taking such a liberty. She actually cringed back, lifting her hands to cover her face. But the blow didn't come. When she lowered her hands again, looked out, she saw no one. Not even Sir. The air waved around her, all but tugged her out. She jumped when the door shut behind her, shoved at it, then pulled, raced back in. Heart hammering, she fell to her knees, murmuring prayers. But the pull was so strong, the air so sweet. She crawled back, opened the door again. She got up, slowly. Had Sir left it open on purpose? A reward? A test? She looked toward the snow-covered ground where, come spring, she'd work the garden. Nearby, the dog slept under his crooked lean-to. She took two steps. Waited. A couple of scrawny hens pecked around in the coop. The old cow chewed her cud. The sway-backed horse dozed on its feet. She saw not another living thing. But she heard birds, and the air through the trees, and took another step along the roughly cleared path leading from her house to Sir's. She walked on, simply dazzled, forgetting the attack, the hurts, in the sheer joy of being outside without a tether, to be able to walk in any direction. Bending down, she picked up snow in her bare hand, rubbed it against her face. Oh, it felt so good. She picked up another handful, licked at it. The sound that came out of her was so foreign she didn't know she'd made it. Didn't know. She laughed. But the dog heard, and woke with a ferocious bark, a lunge toward her. Fear of him had her rushing away in a limping run. She ran until her lungs turned to fire, until that awful barking fell away. The exertion winded her, and she stumbled, her body spilling into the snow. Gasping for air, she rolled over, staring up at the sky through the trees, lying still, caught in wonder at the shape of clouds, how the branches cut through them. Something tickled some part of her brain, some deep memory that had her moving her arms, her legs, laughing again at the sensation. When she crawled up, looked down, she saw an angel in the snow. It seemed to point west. Yes, west, where the sun would set. Sir would want her to obey the angel. In her long cotton dress and slippers, she limped west. As she searched for angels, the sky began to burn in red, to billow in purples, to glimmer in golds. Enthralled, she trudged on. It seemed to her the sound of snow dripping from branches was music, angel music, guiding her path. She came out to a place where little stones, gravel, her memory bank told her, ran through the snow. She didn't notice when the gravel went to dirt, when the road forked. She'd seen a bird and, mesmerized, followed its direction for a time. Birds flew. Angels flew. The air grew cold, very cold when the sun dropped away, but the moon sailed overhead, so she shuffled on, smiling up at it. Deer, a small herd, bounded in front of her, leaping across the track. She stumbled back, heart hammering again as their eyes, yellow in the dark, gleamed at her. Devils? Devils' eyes gleamed yellow. With a twisting jolt, she realized she didn't know where she was. She didn't know which way her house would be. She had to get back to it, get back and close the door she should never have opened. Sir would be so angry with her, angry enough to take the belt to her back as he'd done to teach her to obey. In full panic, she could feel the bite of the belt on her back. She ran. Ran on a leg that dragged behind the other, on feet gone numb. When she slipped and fell, her knees burned, the heels of her hands bled. She had to return to her house, repent, repent her great sin. Tears poured down her cheeks, her breath tore from her lungs until, dizzy and weak, she had to stop, wait for her head to stop swimming. She ran again, walked, ran, limped, lost in her mind, lost in despair, fell again on the gravel. On her knees, she saw the gravel gave way to smooth. A road. She remembered a road. You traveled on a road. A road would take her back home again. With a flutter of hope in her chest, she limped along, with blood trickling down her calves from her scored knees. The road would take her home. She'd make tea and read the Bible and wait for Sir to come back. She wouldn't tell him he'd left the door unlocked. It wasn't a sin not to tell him. Telling him was disrespectful, she reasoned. It would be saying he'd made a mistake. She'd make her tea and be warmed by it, and she would forget the angel in the snow and the bird in the sky. Her house, the house Sir provided, was all she needed. She walked and walked and couldn't find it. Walked and walked until her legs buckled, until her head swam again. She could rest once more, for just a minute. She'd rest, and then she'd find her way home. Before she could, the moon circled and circled above her. It spiraled down, and it fell away, leaving her in the black. Part 3. A Sunset. There are sunsets who dance goodbye. They fling scarves half to the arc then and over the arc. Ribbons at the ears, sashes at the hips, dancing, dancing goodbye. And here sleep tosses a little with dreams. Carl Sandburg. Chapter 15. The Roundup, a big barn of a dance bar, kept things simple. Music on Saturday nights, with the occasional Friday added in, from November through the 1st of May. May to November featured the addition of open mic on Wednesdays. Otherwise, the head bartender played tunes for whoever warmed a bar stool or chowed down on nachos or a burger at one of the tables. Music ran from country to western, and the occasional crossover. Rock was not king here, though it could be tolerated in brief doses. Callan had grown up on that country-western beat, its laments, its story songs. But his musical tastes had expanded considerably during his travels. Regardless, he didn't much care if the band played disco on this particular evening, as he'd gotten a good look at Bodine's legs. They were every bit as excellent as he'd imagined. She wore a dress that scooped down just enough over her breasts, narrowed in nicely at her waist, then flared out again to float